Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So you can follow him on Twitter at MoveTheSticks. Joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline.
What up, DJ?
Ford dealer. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
What's going on? How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing great. Obviously doing what a lot of other NFL markets are doing. Looking forward to the draft and trying to figure out exactly what our football team is going to do. So I'll just start there. What do you think the Falcons should do with that fourth overall pick?
I think there's two options. I think there is, we want to get the next quarterback that we can sit and groom behind Matt Ryan, or we're going to get the heck out of there and get a King's ransom for somebody who does want a quarterback. I can't really imagine them sticking and picking at any other position there. When you just look at the overall makeup of the roster and look at some areas that they need to fortify, it kind of positions itself more for that decision. It's either quarterback or we're going to get out.
DJ, but in recent memory, top five pick don't sit. You know, they're ready to roll right now. So with that being said, if they go number four, would Matt Ryan, do you think Matt Ryan will be on the move possibly, even though he has that large cap number?
Well, no, I think you would still be a year. I mean, I think we don't have to go back that far, right, with Mahomes and how well that played out for them to sit him behind Alex Smith for a year. So that's out there, and that would give you a year for, you know, some quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, you could make a strong argument for really all of them outside of Trevor Lawrence. You are going to benefit from being able to sit. So, you know, I know we've seen a lot of guys jump right onto the field. We saw it last year with Burrow and Herbert. But I think there's other instances where you look at them individually and say, this is set up pretty well if you wanted to go that route. And I'm sure Matt Ryan would not be happy. But you would secure your future there if you believe one of these kids. Again, if you don't believe in them, if you don't believe one of these draft quarterbacks, then you'll have a market. I guarantee there'll be teams that are looking to get up there.
Who do you believe most in? I mean, obviously Trevor Lawrence isn't going to be there at number four.
Yeah.
So if it's the second quarterback on the list, who's the guy that you believe in most?
Well, I have it with Zach Wilson. Who, this is the challenge. I was just on the phone with the general manager from another team this morning, and we were talking about this. And you know, the quality of competition that BYU played this year was just not good.
Right.
But when you watch him, you see all the tools, you see the throwing ability, and the way I kind of put it up was, man, I know he played great. The question is he a great player? And that's going to be the challenge. And there's holes on all these guys. They all have tremendous amount of ability when you look at the next group. For me, it's Wilson, it's Trey Lance, it's Justin Fields, all those guys together. They all have flaws, but they all have huge, huge upsides. So, to me, I thought Zach Wilson played the best of the three. I understand completely about the competition level he was playing against, but I thought he threw the ball better than anybody else outside of Trevor Lawrence.
DJ, another position, and we know here the Falcons have holes, they need linemen, they need back, the running back position. Now, obviously, they're not going to take a running back at number four spot. Maybe not even in the top of the second round, but a couple guys in the back end, because I think because he's the most recent big-time back that we saw, was running back out of Alabama. He's like, oh, yeah, we got to get Najee. Well,
yeah.
Najee's not going to be there for. Is it a possibility he's there at the top of the second, him or Travis Etienne or somebody like that?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, we see running backs fall. So, to me, I look at it, and I know we talked about Etienne and Najee, but Javonte Williams from North Carolina is a stud. I mean, he is a stud. I talked to somebody that's been around him and had been at Georgia and said the similarities between him and Nick Chubb, like not only as players, but just as kind of people, like this dude is wide, this is all ball. Like, you know, when you look at a team environment, how many times do you say the running back was the leader of our team? Like, that's not typically the case. I mean, they said this dude was the leader of the North Carolina football team. He was the alpha of the alphas, all business, all football. And then you put on the tape, and he's 5'10", 220 pounds, and he can do everything. So, like, to me, if you're a Falcon fan and you want to get fired up and excited about somebody you could take outside the first round right there at the top of the second round, man, Javonte Williams, I would be stoked if you could pull that off.
Is that where you would have to go? I mean, he's top of the second round, not going to fall any later than that. If you want Javonte Williams, you have to take him right there?
Yeah, and I think we'll see once he comes through the pro day process. But at that, you know, 220 pounds, he ends up running in the 4.4s, which I think he probably will, to go along with the character and all that stuff that's just off the charts. I think he'll go early in the second round. He's my 32nd player right now on the last update that I did. And when I go through and you kind of look at these lists, you consult these lists every day, right? You're looking at them and you just go, man, like you asked me about the quarterbacks. And I go, oh, man, this is the way I have them. Like, do I sleep well at night feeling great about that order? Not so much. The running backs, when I look at that list and I just go, man, like if you told me the guy I really believe in him and where you can get him, Javonte Williams to me is he's one of those guys where you sleep really well at night if that was your pick.
Let me ask you one quick thing about how that process goes, because I am interested in that with you. Is they're not playing any more football, right? Like it's not like they played a game last weekend and then they vault. Is it conversations with general managers? Is it conversations with scout? Is it more tape? Like how are these guys moving this time of year when they're not actually doing anything?
I'm glad you asked. It's a great question. And there are some times where you'll get some information, you know, like, look, you talk to somebody with the team and they say, yeah, no, this guy's, you know, we've had cocaine. We found out about cocaine issues and this guy's got all these other types. Okay. Well, I probably should drop him down a little bit then. That would impact that. But the way that it works, especially when you're a one man band, like I am in this situation, I've got to get through 400 players. So as I'm going through, I can't afford to watch 5 tapes on every guy. There's not enough time for me to get through everybody. Mm-hmm. So you go through and you watch what you can watch to move on, and you start with putting guys in buckets. So like a grade, a 62 grade, right? So I'll take a player, I'll watch him, boom, I put him in the 62s. I don't sort him amongst the other 62s from other positions until later. So then I'll go back after I've done that and I say, okay, now that I've kind of trimmed the fat, so to speak, I've eliminated of these 400 players I've watched, I can say, okay, these are the bottom 200 guys. I don't need to really sort them. I need to sort the top 200. So then I'll say, okay, I've got these three, defensive tackles that I have the same grade on. Now I'm going to go back in and I'm going to watch just those three guys back to back to back, more tape on them. And that helps determine who moves up and who moves down.
DJ, with the fourth pick, if they don't move out, they don't take a quarterback, is there a defensive player worthy of that fourth pick? I know Micah Parsons. I don't know. You know more about him than I do. Is he a guy that can play off the ball, can be pass rush? Lil Pat Surtain and him at the first corner. Who's a defensive player that's worthy of the fourth pick if the Falcons decide to stay there?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, Caleb Farley. VTech, the corner is a freak show. I mean, he's going to be 6'2", 200-plus, long, can really run, play the ball. You know, opted out this year, so you didn't see him. But I liked him. I thought Surtain's a really good player. I like Farley a little bit better. So that, to me, would be the one that I would, you know, keep an eye on is somebody in that range. I don't think that's too much of a reach. But, again, I think when you look at the collection of Parsons and Surtain and Farley, like you can trade back. You're going to get one of those guys if that's the area that you want to go. But if you're stuck, you could do a lot worse than taking a big athletic corner.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on the WadeFord.com hotline. Like we mentioned, and you know, and everybody listening knows, the Falcons have plenty of needs. They were 4-12 for a reason. Where can they find some pass rush depth if they don't address that in the first round? Where can maybe, if they don't take that running back early in the second round, where can there be some running back depth in this draft? Where can they fill out some of these other needs that they have as the draft goes on?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an intriguing edge group when you start talking about that third round range. Some guys are interesting. I think this kid Peyton Turner from Houston is starting to get a little bit of buzz. He's big, man. He's 6'5 and change, 270 pounds. Had a really good Senior Bowl week. Patrick Johnson, what's his name here? Now the name's going to escape me here. Patrick Jones, thank you. Patrick Jones from Pitt. was somebody I was really high on going into the Senior Bowl. Didn't have a great week down there. I dropped him out of my top 50. He's probably going to factor into the third round range, but another guy who's, you know, 6'4", 265 pounds, who can rush. So there's going to be intriguing options in the mid rounds. I would throw Quincy Roche from Miami in that group as well. The running backs, look, we say it every year, running backs, you can find them everywhere. So you're going to have options. Michael Carter from North Carolina, the other running back, we talked about Javonte Williams. But Michael Carter is kind of, to me, reminds me of Ray Rice when he was coming out of Rutgers. I mean, he's a 5'8", 200-pound bowling ball who's just he's just a really, really good football player. And I would add Jermar Jefferson from Oregon State. Those guys, I think, are third-round type players. If you want to go beyond that, one other running back, Javian Hawkins from Louisville, who's got a lot of juice, probably more of a fourth, fifth-round guy.
Got to get a dog question in here into you, Jeremiah. Any first-round dog? Any first-round dogs? And second, who's a better corner, Eric Stokes or Tyson Campbell?
If I had a nickel for every time I've been asked the Stokes-Campbell question from guys in the league, because literally this is every draft room, and they all are trying to sort those two guys out. Mm-hmm. And if you'll get 50% say one, 50% say the other. I gave him the same grade. I ended up with Stokes over Campbell just because I thought he could find and play the ball a little bit better. Campbell had he got beat up a little bit down the field this year, but you're talking about two guys are, you know, track stars with size. So I think both those guys go in the second round. I think Ojulari has got a really good shot of going in the first round. I want to see what he measures. You know, that's the hard part about this year. You don't have any verified measurements. So you see a guy's listed at 6'3", 240. There's a big difference between him checking in at 6'2", even 238 pounds versus a guy who's, you know, 6'3 and a half, 250 pounds. So I want to see, you know, what he looks like, but his tape is darn good.
We had Brian Baldinger on yesterday, and he kind of blew us away by saying that if he was the Falcons, he'd take Kyle Pitts at number four. Where do you have Kyle Pitts overall? And if Trevor Lawrence is number one, the number one player across the board, any position, who's the second best player in the draft?
Yeah, Pitts is number three for me, and I would have no problems. I gave the same grade to Pitts and to Jamar Chase. So Jamar Chase is my number two player. Pitts is number three. And I have no problems if those guys went in that area. I mean, if you're the Falcons, you can do a lot worse than Kyle Pitts. You know, the receiver room's pretty set, but Kyle Pitts is a freak show. I mean, he is a fun player to study. I think if you didn't have a TE next to his name and just had WR next to his name, he'd still be a top 15 pick just as a wide receiver.
Great stuff, Daniel. We appreciate it as always.
I appreciate you guys. See if you can get Baldy to send you one of those Baldy breakdown bandanas. Those are all the rage now.
He's hoarding them. He's not giving none out, man.
He is caffeine without the caffeine. I love Baldy.
yes, sir.
Thanks, DJ. Daniel Jeremiah there from NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. He's right. Baldy is wearing those bandanas lately.
Yeah, he's wearing the hell out of them.
I mean, he gets fired up in the videos. He probably needs it to protect the sweat.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.